Turn me to Isaiah, the 30th chapter. We'll pick up where we left off last time. In chapter 11, we're talking about an alliance, and the author began to show us what were inaccurate alliances so that we can see what proper alliance is. We had covered all of them, and we were on the last one, which is J, and is to an honorable alliance will be covered by unusual blessing and God's favor. Look in Isaiah, the 30th chapter. And 18th verse. And saying, therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that ye may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all those that wait for him. So to close out this chapter, in an alliance, we will be covered by unusual blessings and God's favor. If we do not wait on God in an alliance, if we always go ahead of him, if we don't wait on him, then we forfeit the favor and blessing that he has for us when we work in his timing. See, we must understand that God's purpose must be first and foremost. If God's purpose is not met, then we don't have access to favor. We must understand that when we do have access to favor, it should be used to reach God's goals. I don't get special treatment just because of who I am. I get special treatment because of who he is in me. So if I don't prioritize, or like I say, have things in harmony in my life, in which I use the favor of God to benefit him, then it makes it impossible for the favor of God to reflect back on me and do what I need to do. Are you seeing this? See, once again, this whole book, and we're gonna move into the next chapter. So, and as we move to the next chapter, this scripture has got to remain on your mind. Galatians 6 and 7. I've said it over and over again. Galatians 6 and 7. This is one of the easiest principles to work. Galatians 6 and 7. I want you to memorize this. This is one of the scriptures that I've memorized. This scripture crosses my mind at least once a day, because the earth was created with this principle. How everything grows is with this principle. How the earth turns is with this principle in Galatians 6 and 7. And how things happen in our lives is through this same principle. So without this principle in Galatians 6 and 7, nothing happens. Galatians 6 and 7, I want you to memorize this. I want you to know this. I want you to understand this, because this should also govern your behavior. This principle should govern how you act, govern how you talk, govern how you treat other people. Galatians 6 and 7. I like what the Apostle Paul says here. The Apostle Paul, listen to me, internet. The Apostle Paul says this: be not deceived. Other words, don't get it twisted. Don't think it's going to happen some other way. Don't think that because it doesn't work as fast as you want it to work, that it won't work. That's what it means. Be not deceived. Other words, don't think this is going to happen some other way. Don't let nobody else come in and tell you that things are going to happen in your life any other way. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God will not be made a fool of. God will not be, he will not be made fun of. God will not be made to look idiotic. God's scripture. God's word will not return unto him void. That's what him being not mocked is about. Watch this. Very simple. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a principle that was that's how God created the earth. In verse 11 of the Genesis, the first chapter, verse 11, he said, I made all the trees. I put fruit on the trees and I put seed inside the fruit. Mm-hmm. Why? For everything reproduced after its own kind. So every action that I let go. Watch this. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Not only every action, but every emotion that I release with that action. Every emotion. That's why I go to Isaiah 1, 19. Isaiah 1, 19. See, I don't want to come in a covenant because I know I got to. I don't want to get in an alliance or in the apostolic because I know I got to. Because when you do it that way, Satan will set you up to where something will happen and your commitment will be tested. So if you're not first willing, if you're not first have the proper motives, then when challenges come, see, here's the thing. God never said that we will go through life without challenges. You can't find that nowhere in the Bible. He said, well, God created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden. Well, the whole purpose for God putting them in the Garden of Eden was to train them so that they can venture to be released into that darkness. So that they can take what they've learned and reproduce on the outside of Eden what was in Eden. All Jesus did when he died on the cross, listen to me, that all Jesus did when he died on the cross is put us in that same position to where we can take Eden and recreate it now. Amen. So that means we were built to face challenges. Amen. We were built for it. We were built to conquer things. That's why the Bible says you are what? More than a conqueror. Because you were built for this. So I have to, but I cannot bypass supernatural principles to get things done. I can't be in covenant with a jacked up attitude and expect somebody to connect to me or help me with my plans or help me with my issues and they have a clean attitude. Come on. If I serve or I join an alliance or if I come in a covenant with a jacked up attitude, that's what I'm going to draw to me. See, that's why it's easy for me to see why I can easily walk into a church and see why a church is broke. Because the leader. So all the leader did was attract who he or she is. Because why? God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So that's why Isaiah 1 and 19 is so important. It says, if ye be willing. Now, willing is not a feeling. It's a decision. Yes. It is a decision that has to be made. When a decision has to be made, you have to feed yourself the right information to make the right decision. If you don't feed yourself the right information, you won't be able to make the right decisions. See, sometimes we as Christians like to move based on how we feel. If your feelings are indicators. So if you're not feeling properly as the word say you ought to, and I'm not talking about pain or anything, I'm talking about toward doing something, toward making a move, you know, God, that you're supposed to make. If your feelings are not correct, they're just telling you your thoughts are not correct. If your thoughts are not correct, then you won't be able to make the right decision. Are you seeing this? So willing has to be something. Sometimes it takes time sitting with God, sitting with the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, Ned. Sitting with. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Sitting and listening to the words of your leader.
Yes.
I got Joshua. Yes. 1. Still talking about being covered with unusual blessings and extraordinary favor. These things don't happen automatically. They happen on purpose. There are things that you can do to trigger these things to happen in your life. I know I've gone this before, but this is a perfect time to say it again because you need to be reminded about this. Joshua, and God, we want to make this scripture a universal law. But actually, it was a personal truth for Joshua that we need to take the principle from that. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest do all that is written in, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, thou shalt have good success. What book of the law? Not the Bible. The words of Moses. How do I know that? The first 7 verses in that chapter, listen to me, the first 7 verses in that chapter was God telling Joshua, do what I told Moses, do what Moses told you to do. Don't turn to the left or turn to the right. This book of the law. Now, why? Listen to me. Why is that so important? It is important because if Joshua didn't understand the purpose for Noah's favor from God. See, Noah had favor from God because, I mean Moses. Moses had favor from God because he was going in to accomplish God's purpose, which was to free his people from the hands of Egypt. That's why God favored him. That's why God showed up to him in a burning bush. That's why he was able to do those 10 plagues. That's why God said, this is God. God said, in the eyes of Pharaoh, Moses, you're going to be a God. Why? Because Moses decided that let this extraordinary favor that God is shining on me, I want to use it for his purpose. So if Joshua had not picked up on that purpose, and how did Joshua pick up on that purpose? By this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So that Joshua could understand the reason why Moses was so anointed, why Moses was so favored, why Moses had this grace on his life, so that he can continue. If he had not done this, go to the 6th chapter. Joshua, the 6th chapter. Joshua the 6th chapter, first verse, if he had not done this, then this challenge, remember we talked about challenges, this challenge that Joshua now faced, he wouldn't have been able to overcome. Why? Because in that second verse, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given thee Jericho. Now, see, that word see simply means for him to have to use his imagination, for him to have understanding of what God has said. But you can't just understand what God has said if you have to understand what God, listen to me, Internet, you have to listen to what God has said so that it can become a revelation in this present moment. So if he had not meditated the words of Moses, he would have never been able to see God giving them Jericho. And listen to me very carefully. He would have not been able to pick up the present revelation of marching around those walls. when you meditate the word of God, and specifically when you meditate what God is saying through your leader, it will give you an open door for you to receive insight into your life that you couldn't get on your own. Listen at me. This is repeated over and over in the Bible. Elisha wouldn't have never been able to attain what he attained if Elijah had not anointed him to be a prophet in his house. Elijah opening the door for Elijah to walk into his destiny. It happened because he decided to help, watch this, help promote what Elijah was doing. So if I'm going to get any insight into my life, watch this. What purpose would it serve God to bless me anyhow? Y'all heard that statement before. God gonna bless me anyhow, right? What purpose would it be for God to bless me anyhow and I don't accomplish his will? All that's going to do, that's going to cause me to become selfish. All it's going to do is cause me to be focused on what I want, what I need, and the plans of God go undone. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Watch this. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 36. See, whatever we want in our lives, we have to first be willing to sacrifice that. Amen. See, I have to give it first. See, this is not only about resources. It's not only about money. Whatever I want, if I want favor, I have to first. I got to show favor on somebody. You see, if I want unconditional love, I got to first extend unconditional. God wanted a bunch of sons and daughters. So what he did? Huh? Not only did he give his son, he gave his only, the one major seed. God released it so that he can get all of us. And not only did he release this one that major seed, Jesus Christ, but he released the major seed of Jesus Christ into the earth without ever being guaranteed that he's going to get anything in return. Hebrews 10. I love these scriptures because this scripture, it annihilates, it kills, it destroys the concept that the blessings of God cost you nothing. It annihilates that. See, people won't think, they think God is some, they think God's stupid. Some people, they really think God's stupid. They really think God is just going to bless them infinitely without having no requirements. They think God is just going to just give them whatever they want without getting nothing in return. There are literally Christians that believe that. Then get mad when it don't happen. Watch this. Hebrew the 10th chapter. See, hold your finger there. Go to Luke the 11th chapter. I'm about to show you. Let me get to it. Let me get back to it. Still talking about an honorable alliance will be covered by unusual blessing and God's favor. Still talking about that now. Because a lot of times we don't understand the purpose of the unusual blessing and uncommon favor. We think the unusual blessing or empowerment is to just satisfy us. Or the uncommon favor is just to satisfy us. Luke the 11th chapter. Watch this. Luke 16. I'm going to show you the law of promotion. Do a lot of reading real quick. Thought I was going to be able to get through this, but quicker than I thought I am, but I don't think I'm going to make it through this. I thought this last point I would be able to get through it quick, but don't look like that. Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 1. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, listen now, steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of all. He said unto him, take that bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much thou owest? He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely for the children of this world and their generation wiser than the children of the light. Then Jesus says something that kind of puzzles us. And he said, and verse 9, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, we stop talking. The way we read the Bible, we stop talking because we think that parable ends, but it doesn't. We go to the next verse. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 14. And the Pharisees also, who was covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. Now, that's where Jesus stopped talking. All right, y'all see this. So we go back to verse 9. Look at verse 9. And Jesus is Jesus talking, right? Written in red. He said, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of righteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Jesus was saying there are two systems that I work by. Two systems that the world work by. You can either do it the world system way or you can do it my way. If you do it the world's way, which way is the world's way? Verses 1-8. If you choose to do it the world's way, then you need to make sure that when you do it, you make sure you make friends with them, because you're going to fail. So when you fail, they'll receive you into what their everlasting habitation. Now, their everlasting habitation really ain't everlasting. Or you can do it my way. Which way is my way? Okay. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If Jesus said, if I can't trust you with the money you have, then how am I going to trust you with the ability to produce wealth? See, there has to be a giving. When I say giving, I'm not talking about just giving money. There has to be a giving of yourself first. There has to be a giving of yourself. Some people like to give their money, but they don't want to give themselves. That's not how the principle works. You have to give yourself. Once you give yourself, then the money follows. Matthew 6 chapter. Matthew 6 chapter verse 21. Matthew 6 chapter verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Jesus understands this. When you give yourself, everything else follows. When you give yourself, you have to reap yourself. Multiply. So whatever you sow yourself, that's what you attract. See, so therefore, watch this. If I'm not willing, the obedience does not matter. If I'm not willing, the obedience does not matter. If I'm not giving myself first, then if I just give my money and I don't give myself, that means I'm telling God I'm giving to him. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. When I give my money, but I don't want to give myself, all I'm doing is giving God back what he already gave me. All I'm doing is giving money back to him. And according to 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, he the one gave me the seed anyway. Are you seeing this? The Bible says he that ministereth seed to the sower. God ministereth seed. God gives us money and gives us instructions. So if I don't have instructions, I have to be willing and obedient to follow those instructions, in addition to giving my money. See, what it is, God uses money to figure us out. Am I willing to give myself with it? Because see, how can God trust me with unusual blessings and uncommon favor if I haven't given myself? See, according to Galatians 6 and 7, I have to reap what I sow. So if I haven't given all of me, then I can't reap what I need, what I want, what I desire. Are y'all seeing this? See, when you're talking about covenant and you're talking about God's agenda, He doesn't need our resources, because either he gonna use you or use somebody else, but it's gonna get done. So that's why we have to give ourselves. It's not just about how much money we give or have you given yourself? Here's the question. What it really means to give myself? What it means is, the Apostle Paul said it best. Are you willing to become a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 19, 20. What? Verse 19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, I glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There was a price that the Apostle Paul talks about that was paid. So that price being paid for you was just not for you to get to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5. Nope, that's not what I want. That's not what I want. Let me look at 1 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17 is what I want. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, passed away, behold, all things are become new. That's Luke 16. Luke 16 verses 1 through 8 is the old way. Luke 16 verses 11 to, I think, 17 is the new way. Other words, the reason why we were bought with a price is so that our agenda can change. That we can be vessels used by God to fulfill his agenda and his promise in the earth. That cannot happen unless I allow him to occupy me 100%. I cannot allow any other agenda to occupy my life but his agenda. What agenda? Whatever he connects me to, whoever he connects me to, their wall becomes my wall. Their agenda becomes my agenda. I say this over and over again. I don't know why people who have a problem with money follow Apostle Thompson. Why? Oh, you're gonna always gonna have you gonna keep getting offended. You just gonna keep getting offended. If you believe you're supposed to be poor and holy, this ain't the place for you. And you know what? It's okay for you to believe that. It's your choice. But don't attach yourself to an agenda for which you don't agree with. Because then it's hard for you to give yourself. Because you're not willing. Are you seeing this? See, so now I have to be able to give 100% of me to whoever God has put in that agenda. To the agenda that God has assigned them to. I must become, as much as they become obsessed with the agenda, I must become obsessed with the agenda. Are you seeing this? See, I must become fully persuaded. Just like Abraham was fully persuaded. Abraham didn't happen to Abraham. It took Abraham time to become fully persuaded. Why? Because there were some times when Abraham tried to do things on his own. See, that's what I love. That's another thing I love about Jesus. I love about God. I love about the Holy Spirit. God don't mind you moving forward. You may make mistakes. He don't mind you. He don't mind you making mistakes. He don't mind. That's what the blood of Jesus is for. But he don't. But what he does not like is somebody to be stagnant. Just don't spend no time with him. Not interested in what he's trying to do. Just going through the motions, just trying to make it to heaven. Just trying to, I just get to church on Sundays. I may make it during me. I may and may not. I just, whatever. It just depends on how I feel. Just existing. But yet, when trouble comes, are you seeing this? See, I was brought up in a discipline of, if you spend time with God consistently, when trouble shows up, you ain't got no catching up to do. Put it to you like this. When the Bible talks about he'll give you peace that passeth all understanding, yes. That peace that passeth all understanding is meant for troubled times. Do you know the quickest way to throw a person off is to get them angry? When you get a person angry, they can't think straight. When you get a person under pressure, they get clouded thinking. So if you don't spend time, if you don't give yourself 100% to God, if you don't, what that means to give yourself 100% to God. God, look, I'm willing to spend time with you more than anybody else. Yes. Not that you spend all day, or not that you can't talk to nobody else, but if I'm talking to you and then God start talking to me, then our conversation is over. That's it. And if you get upset with that, then that's your problem. That's the way it has to be. So now, if I'm giving my 100% of myself to God, I'm spending time with God, so when trouble or situation arises, I have peace that passeth all understanding. In other words, it looked like I'm supposed to be tripping. It looked like I'm supposed to be panicking. But I have been preparing myself. I've been spending time with God. I've hid myself in the secret place of the Most High. Yes. So therefore, when trouble comes, I can calmly assess the situation. I can calmly get an answer from God and know that I can walk my way through this thing. As compared to somebody who only shows up to God when trouble comes. So now what they don't realize is God will be there, but Satan is there also. So now when you're in the panic mode, you can't decipher what voice you're hearing. Because you got to make a decision. You got to get something done. This got to get done today. I need to figure out what I need to do. So now Satan has the opportunity to come put voices, come put thoughts. And now he can put an idea that is close to what you think is God's voice. But because you hadn't been spending time with him, you're not able to do what Romans 12:2 says, that ye may be able to prove or recognize what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Are y'all seeing this? So when I give 100% of myself, that's when I can walk in the unusual blessing and uncommon favor, because now God can trust me with that type of ability. See, the reason why the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit operating in our lives, the 9 gifts. And the Bible says, as the Spirit wills. As the Spirit wills don't mean the Spirit come in and leave out. Or no, you need the gift, but I ain't gonna do it now. That ain't what that's talking about. It says, as the Spirit will. If the Spirit can trust you, the Spirit can will every day. But if the Holy Ghost can't trust you because he hadn't seen you, he don't know what you're going to do. He don't know your tendencies. Because you have been spending time with the Holy Spirit, that he might not will that day. Why? Not so much that he don't want it to, but you just can't be trusted. Are y'all seeing this? So in order for me to have the uncommon, the unusual blessing and the uncommon favor that is on the agenda of the house, then I have to be willing to give myself 100% to that agenda. And if the, and because the agenda is coming from God, you're giving yourself 100% to him. So it's not, that's what an alliance is. An alliance is when I'm in it to win it. I don't put one foot in and one foot out. So if everything don't go my way, I can ease out. I have both feet in. God, whatever direction you go in, once again, I said this and I'm closing with this. Remember we talked about earlier in class about willingness is a decision? Sometimes God shifts the house on purpose just to see who can shift their willingness. Prime example. We, in LTMA, Apostle came in, and we've been doing it for about May, I would assume over 6 months now. Apostle came in, he said, you know what? He said, we need to be praying more. Told the LTMA members, we need to be praying more. He said, I want y'all to begin to, we're going to get on GroupMe, and I want y'all to, GroupMe is an app that we use where we keep in contact with. The East Circle has their own GroupMe texting group. And he said, I want you to report. We, the MVBs, I and 11 other guys, we're in a group with Apostle. We, every day, we have to report how long we prayed, and we have to report what we read. Like, today was Acts 8. So we had to report that we prayed, you know, 55 minutes, an hour and a half, you know, 45 minutes or whatever. And we had to also let him know that Acts 8 and what out of Acts 8 that we understood. What jumped out of us at Acts 8, right? Do y'all realize, now mind you now, let's set this up so you can see how ridiculous this is, what I'm about to say. LTMA is a group of preachers. People who are supposed to be leading God's people. Do you realize that LTMA lost more membership when he instituted that than anything else? So that simple measure, watch this, that simple measure of reporting your prayer, reporting your prayer and reading on the same lines with everybody else. We don't want to call. We all read the same thing. We all go in the same direction. Those two things, we lost the MVB because of that. Wow. Are you kidding me? All he did was you praying anyway. Are you supposed to be? And all he did was ask us to let him know. One gentleman made up a word. He said, this is Pharisaic. Other words, he was trying to claim that we were being Pharisees because we did that. But people don't realize that sometimes God will shift the house just to see if you will shift your willingness. If you're not willing to shift your willingness, God can't trust you. You have to be able to move with the cloud. The clouds say we're going this way. The children of Israel had to do it. The clouds say we're going this way. They had to go this way. If they wanted the protection of God, they had to move with the cloud. Sometimes God will shift the house to see if you're willing to shift your willingness. If you're not willing to shift your willingness, then why would God trust you with the uncommon favor and the unusual blessing that is on that agenda, on that cloud? Just that one simple thing. Another thing Apostle did. Apostle was teaching and he said, you know what, this world, we never had a cross in the church. He didn't go put a cross in the church. We never had a cross in the church. Then 3 months later, he come, he say, take all the crosses out. We got people that got upset about that. People, do you understand that the cross is only a symbol? Jesus is not on the cross no more. The cross is supposed to remind you of the whole process that he went through to put us in this position. And you get mad because we make, once again, that has had nothing to do with being religious, had nothing to do with making another shift. Making another shift. If you're not faithful in that which is another man's, how can I give you that which is your own? If you're not faithful in the little things, you're not going to be faithful in the big thing. If you can't be faithful in just reporting your prayers. Nobody said we were going to do this forever, but until now, until apostles change it, that's what we got to do. Can you see, because willingness is a decision. You have to decide, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to like doing it. That's a decision. Oh, I don't want to do this. Well, talk to yourself till you want to do it. We all do it. You do it. We don't like to work out. So you have to talk to yourself. So you go from not wanting to work out. How you go from not wanting to work out to, okay, I'm going to get this done? Why? Because you talk to yourself. So willingness is a decision that you have to make. And if you're not willing, you have to take the time to become willing. How many get this? Y'all enjoy your night.